football on off the ball.
With Sky. Don't miss Everton versus Man City on Saturday Night Football. Live only on Sky Sports.
Celtic on their way out of Europe, 2-0 down in Norway against Bodo Glimt, 5-1 in aggregate in the Europa Conference League. But Leicester will progress 3-1 up on the night away at Randers. That means they're leading 7-2 on aggregate. Rangers play Borussia Dortmund in the Europa League, leading by 4-2 from the first leg at 8. And it's a 7:45 kickoff in the Premier League. Big match in the race for fourth between Arsenal and Wolves. But it is just gone 7:30 on a Thursday. John Giles is with us. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So Tottenham, it is never dull at the moment. Tottenham put in one of the performances of the season at the weekend to beat Manchester City and then suffer their fourth defeat in five games against Burnley last night, a 1-0 defeat. And Antonio Conte has been increasingly outspoken over the past four or five matches, and particularly last night was absolute box office, talking about it being relegation form, about how he needs to look at his own position. He is not the type of person to stay in this scenario, that he has ambition, totally unacceptable to lose four of five matches, and that the club needs to look and understand what is the best solution going forward. What do you make of it all?
Well, I can understand his statement. I think he's frustrated more than anything else. I can understand it. Because obviously he's not getting on with Daniel Levy. I mean, he did say a couple of weeks ago in the window for the transfers that you know, he'd more players going out. He only had two coming in, and so he wasn't happy about the situation. And that lad Luis Diaz, who looks a very good player, playing for Liverpool now. They looked like they were going to get him at one stage. So he wouldn't be happy with Daniel Levy in the transfer market.
Well, surely he knew this, John. Everybody knows the way that Tottenham have operated in the transfer window for years at this stage. He couldn't have expected it was going to go any other way.
Well, I don't know. He might have made an agreement when he was starting at the job. I think he's an independent guy who, if he'd known from the start that this was the way it was going to be, I don't think he would have taken the job. So there might have been promises. I don't know. There might have been promises made that this would change and it would be okay. And what he's saying now, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves in the summer at all. Because this guy doesn't... I'd say he's quite a wealthy fella to start with, Nathan. So he wouldn't be desperate for a job with Spurs or anybody else in terms of the financial situation. And that's what a lot of managers really, really do suffer. So I'd be very, very surprised if he took the job on the conditions that is going on at the moment. I'd be very, very surprised at that. If he did make that, he wouldn't be making the big fuss that he's making now. Nathan, because he is threatening to go. When you read the statements he's making, if it hasn't improved by the summer, he's going to go. So that leads me to think, well, there were promises made when he went for the job.
How can Tottenham play so well on Saturday and then lose their four matches around that and play Burnley last night, who were right down the wrong end of the table, struggling for form, and Burnley go and beat them? Does some of that not go back on the manager?
Well, some of it would, Nathan, but you know, it can be a crazy game. I mean, if you asked him, would he rather beat the lesser teams than Manchester City in three or four of them and lose to Manchester City and again go to Burnley and win? I think he'd say no. That's what I'd rather do, because he's looking for consistency of performance, and it can happen. But we're taking one match out of five or six there, Nathan, that he actually played as well, probably above the boxing weight on that particular match. The rest of the stuff, they haven't done it.
What did they do at the weekend against Manchester City then that enabled them to go and win a game of that importance that they haven't been doing in the other matches?
Well, I think City didn't play well at all, actually, Nathan. The defendant was awful, particularly from Walker at right back. He tried to play off somebody offside for the first goal. Harry Kane beat him for the header for the second goal. So that can happen. I mean, he has some good players, Kane, as we know. song particularly. But the rest of the side is not there. But it can happen in football, Nathan. But you're looking for consistency. I mean, once in a blue moon. I mean, don't forget, a couple of weeks ago, Norwich beat somebody near, you know, when everybody expected them to lose. That happens in football. But, I mean, what you're looking for is consistency. And what he would know after the Manchester City match, which was a very, very good result for them, Nathan, you go to Burnley and it's not there. Three or four matches before that, it's not there. So he's not happy about the situation, Nathan, because I think he would have been made, or certainly expected promises that he would get players in. And it hasn't happened. And that's why he's making the statements now. I think the deal he made early on, I don't think that has come to fruition, if that's the right word, when he spoke to Levy early on in the summer.
Harry Kane's performance at the weekend, would it suggest to you that Manchester City would be dead right to go all in again on Kane this summer? The quality is still there despite the decline in form?
It's difficult. I'd say yes, you go take him now if you possibly could, because they're missing somebody like that, Nathan. And I think it's catching up on them a bit now. But I think if they could take him now, they take him. But if the summer comes around, who knows what's going to happen again? I mean, according to City, they made four efforts to get him. And, you know, Tottenham seemed to be determined not to let him go. Anyway, and then it was too late for them, I think, in the season to try and get somebody else that they wanted in. And I think they're paying the price for that now. Although defensively, you know, they were very, very poor against Spurs. Spurs were good, very good on the day. But I thought City defending was awful.
What were they doing wrong?
Well, the first goal, I think, was Walker tried to play somebody offside and got caught on it. And the second goal, you blame Walker again for not even... I mean, he's a defender when the ball came over for Harry Kane's header to win the game, Nathan. You know, a fullback like that, you should never, ever let the... You know, be putting the forward off or getting stuck into him, so stop him getting a free header at the goal. That'd be my opinion on it, anyway.
The victory last night for Burnley, massive in terms of keeping them in that relegation scrap and making sure that they weren't cast adrift towards the bottom. Back-to-back wins following up in the 3-0 victory against Brighton. I know you've been a big fan of Sean Dyche. He's the longest-serving manager in the Premier League at this stage. It brings an awful lot of other clubs back into it. He's done a remarkable job, Dyche, considering the lack of resources that he seems to consistently have to deal with.
Why running every year for manager of the year, Nathan? You know, if you look at it, if you relate it to money spent to performances, I mean, he has to be way ahead of everybody else. I mean, even the situation he's in now, they've got new owners there who apparently can't even raise the money to buy the club. They're dependent on him to keep them in the Premiership. You know, I think he's done a great job year in and year out. I mean, I can't remember. Can you remember a big signing by Dyche?
No, they've spent, so they sold Chris Wood, they brought in Wout Weghorst, and I think they sold Wood for 20 million, bought Weghorst in for 12 million, and that's sort of the way they've operated.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. I think he's done a fantastic job. I mean, a few weeks ago, I would have written him off again, but he's back again, and he's doing his stuff, and, you know, now you need all managers need the resources to survive in the Premiership, and he's doing it without the money that's needed to really do it. I think he's done a fantastic job there.
Generally goes with that sort of straight 4-4-2 formation. Would be seen as being a little bit old school in his style, and it's not the most attractive at times to watch Burnley. Do you care about any of that? Should he care about any of that?
No. You have to get the results, Nathan. Funny enough, I don't. I'm one of the old school. I think there's too much passing across the back. That I get bored with, to be quite honest. I think it's unnecessary a lot of the time, where he's more straightforward. He is one of the older managers, there's no doubt. And, you know, I think the keeping possession thing, playing out from the back, I think 80% of it is wrong, Nathan.
Why?
Well, it's too dangerous. And, you know, first of all, you see them starting off on the six-yard line, out to the full back, back into the goal. There's always a danger to that. And first of all, you're not going anywhere. You know, like if you see it now and again, sometimes the goalkeeper has to push it, put it out, you know, hit a long ball. And immediately there's danger from it. I'm not saying all the time, but it should be broken up a lot more than it is. It's played out to the full back, out to the centre back, out to the left back, back across the pitch and all. That, I think it's totally unnecessary. You should be, I think when the full back gets it, if he can't find a midfield player to turn on it, you should be looking for the target man and play it up and get up behind the ball. People might say it's old fashioned, but the thing in football, when if it's right, it's right. If it was right 40 years ago, it's right enough today, Nathan. And there's a lot of copycat effect in it. If Liverpool or Manchester United are playing possession football, then, well, that's what we have to do. And it's wrong, in my opinion.
The wins for Burnley over the last week have brought Brentford, Leeds, Everton, Newcastle right into it in terms of the battle for survival. We'll get on to Leeds in a moment, but Everton, just 2 points above the relegation zone. Frank Lampard had a very short honeymoon period and a short bounce, but they can't get any momentum. And while it does feel as though they've maybe the most quality of the teams down around there, Goodison Park, a pretty toxic place when things aren't going well.
Well, we're seeing that, Nathan, with a couple of the, especially with the latest manager that's just gone, and Frank Lampard has come in. He had a good start, but you know, it's a difficult situation because he got off to a good start, which was great, but you know, it's very, very, very hard to understand why a club should be doing as badly as they were doing, and then suddenly change to doing well, Nathan. Do you know what I mean? The managers can do so much, but it's down to the players, really. And the same players, most of the same. Well, he's got one or two. He's got Dele Alli in. I wouldn't touch with a 40-foot pole in any club. And he's taken the lad from Manchester United, Van de Beek,
yeah.
who looks a good player. But those players were there. You know, he's got a lot to do to turn them round, and he's got a big job on his hands. Okay, they made a good start. But, you know, just because the new manager comes in, it does work sometimes. But if you've got a few players in there, Nathan, we're not really up for it, not really doing the job. You could get any manager in you want, and they're not prepared to do it. So we'll have to wait and see with Frank Lampard. Same with Steven Gerrard. You know, the only thing I'll find with Gerrard, he seems very harsh with them, Nathan. You know, I saw in the paper he said last week, I had a... A truthful conversation with them. Now, that's the second time I've heard him say words to that effect, which means I really, really got stuck into them. You know? And I've seen it in the past where you can get stuck into players too much, Nathan, where it gets to the side, you say, I'm not really listening to him. You know?
Yeah.
It can happen. I've seen it happen where the manager, you know, instead of going a bit easy, you know, understanding a few mistakes, they don't, and it really turns the players off. And I think the players that I've seen with Aston Villa since Steven Gerrard has gone there, they've given him everything on the pitch. I haven't seen anybody not giving him everything on the pitch. So obviously you make mistakes and you lose matches, but there's times like that a manager has to be not too harsh, Nathan, you know?
Is it understandable in any way? Maybe he's looking at Aston Villa, much like Frank Lampard might be with Everton, and thinking, you know, these are two traditionally giant clubs that have been stuck in this rut for years at this stage, and that there needs to be a big change in attitude. There needs to be some harsh conversations.
Yeah, definitely. But not too harsh, Nathan. And not too often, you know? Because you have to get the same players coming out next week again.
Yeah, so he needs to find a balance between understanding actually that for an awful lot of these Aston Villa players, they're maybe at their limit.
Exactly. You know, when you look at a team play and you see players playing, is he doing his best? You know, is he doing his best? And if they're doing their best, it's not good enough. But getting onto them and having a go at them doesn't make them any better, Nathan. In my opinion, it only makes them worse. They get more nervous and they say, oh, can't do anything right with this guy. You know, you just have to be careful. I think what I've read about him doing, that's the second time I've heard him come make that statement, you know. I think he said honest. I've had an honest discussion with them.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually, I've given them a right telling off, usually, in that. And you can overdo it. I've seen it, and I've heard about it from players, with the managers. Oh, that guy, I can't please him. can't really see them touch. So you've got to be very careful, you know. And it's a very emotional game, as you know, because when you lose as a manager, you're not going to be want to be Mr. Patient, you know. Now, luckily enough, I played for one manager who was the Matt Busby was like that, Nathan. When I played for Manchester United, I never ever, only once did I ever hear him after a bad result really blow his top.
Right.
He said, okay, lads, off you go. He wouldn't say, you did this, you didn't do that. Let it go. Because I know it's a very, very emotional game, and you might lose in the last minute and that, and you feel like, especially managers, really, really taking the head off some of the players for doing it. But in the long run, it doesn't work, Nathan. I've seen it. It doesn't work. You have to, on Monday morning, you're in a different frame of mind altogether. Immediately after a match, good or bad, in my opinion, as a manager, you're better saying very, very little. Win or lose, say very, very little.
What about John Giles, the manager?
Yeah, I was okay. I was okay like that because most of the time as manager, I was playing as well.
Yeah.
Nathan, you know? But I did learn. I did, obviously, I played under Matt Busby years before I finished playing. And Dom was okay as well. You know, Dom would blow his top a bit more than Matt Busby. But Matt Busby was unbelievably patient, Nathan. Unbelievably patient. Where it's okay, lads, get ready. See you on Monday. And he, I know most managers say, I'd love to take his head off. You know, somebody that's given a penalty away, somebody that's missed a chance near the end to win the match. Never saw him lose it. Never.
All Our Football is brought to you by Sky. You can watch every UEFA Champions League and Europa League match live on BT Sport this season. We need to take a quick break, but John Giles is sticking with us. We're going to talk about Leeds and Manchester United right after these.
As a forward, again, you only need one chance to ruin his 70 minutes. You have to have that mentality all the time. I only need one ball here. You're in trouble again.
The Football Pod is available every Tuesday exclusively on the OTB Sports app.
Still scoreless between Arsenal and Wolves, 5 minutes gone in the Premier League. John Giles is with us. John, Leeds only 3 points clear of the relegation zone. They've played more games than anybody else. They've haven't had a win in their last five matches. They've conceded 16 goals in their last four Premier League games. Didn't lay a glove on Liverpool last night. How worried are you about Leeds' future?
Very worried, Nathan. Leeds are doing badly and the other teams that were around them are doing pretty well, so they're in dire straits at the moment. I think, you know, they don't have a big panel of players. In 18, you've got Bamford out, you've got Phillips out, and I think they're paying the price for that.
How much of it is down to that? Because there's all sorts of statistics when you compare this season and last season about the amount of ground covered, the intensity of their press are all way down. Am I giving Bielsa too much of a free pass to say like they're missing their two most influential players in that 4-1-4-1? The two ones are missing. Bamford, with all he offers up front, and Calvin Davis, who was just exceptional in the middle of midfield for them last season.
Yeah, I think it's what you're seeing now is the second season syndrome.
Teams have figured them out.
Well, no. Well, I'll give you my experience as a player. I was at Leeds when we got promoted, and there was Norman Hunter and Paul Reaney. There was about six of the lads never played in the first division at that time. And I think when players, as teams are promoted like that, you're very, very scared, Nathan. Very, very, very scared. And being scared, in a way, if you know, you're not over scared, but when you were playing at Manchester United, we played at Manchester United, Norman Hunter, these lads were really, really up for it and very, very nervous and very scared about the situation. Right. Now, and you go back to recently to Sheffield United. When they were promoted, they got, in the first season, they were going for Europe at one stage. I think they finished seventh or eighth, was good. Next season, they're relegated. Because it's a mental thing that, oh, we played Arsenal, that we did okay against them, there was no bother. That scaredness or frightening is gone out of it. So you don't have that intensity going out on the pitch to make sure that you're going to do it. You think, well, we did it last year, it was quite easy. Now, that's what I think happens. I don't think players consciously think that way, but I think it does happen, Nathan. You know, there's not a lot of teams go up, do well, then go down again. And I think that could be happening, especially the way Leeds play, which is very, very intense, getting back, covering the ground, a couple of players missing. And I think they're paying the price for that. Now, last year, like, I think he's done a great job with them, Bielsa. Mm. But I'm probably on your program, I've said it. There's an awful lot of lack of discipline in corner kicks, free kicks, particularly, Nathan. They're more interested in pulling and pushing. And if you go back to the match last week against Manchester United, where Maguire was involved in it, I can't remember the Leeds player, but all he was doing was pulling and pushing. And in that situation, if you get clear, like Maguire did, he's got a free header. And if you look at Leeds, I think they've lost more goals from set pieces than anybody else. And I'm amazed at Bielsa. Now, he's a very experienced manager. I think he's done a fantastic job to continue doing this. But I definitely think it's a second season syndrome where, especially the way Leeds play, it's all action, that, you know, you go in first year. Because I experienced it. Yeah. I was only 22, 23 myself when we got promotion in my first season at Leeds. Now we're into the first division. And we had to go to places like Max. We won at Old Trafford that year and Everton, these places, because I knew, because I remember coming back on the train with Leeds. We were coming back from Swansea, I think we got promoted. And there was Norman Hunter, there was Paul Madeley, there was Terry Cooper. Five or six players. They're all young, hadn't played in the first division before. And they were saying to me, what's it like? I said, oh, it'd be great, you really enjoy it. So I knew they were scared, but they weren't scared in a way that it affected their ability to play.
Yeah.
Actually, the best way you can be, you wouldn't be a top player unless you were nervous before every match,
yeah.
Nathan. And there's some players are not nervous before every match, and that's why they don't play well.
They're too relaxed.
Yeah.
John, yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We got to leave it there. We'll be back next Thursday. There'll be plenty more to talk about. But John, great stuff as always.
Thanks, Nathan.
John Giles, every Thursday night, 7:30. Up next, we're going to be looking ahead to Ireland against Italy.